You stupid bitch. Yeah, you're a stupid bitch. You stupid bitch.
Yeah. But anyway, how are you, stupid bitch? It's good to see you again. It's been too long.
Oh, fuck, are we already recording?
It's recording has started.
It's been so long, hasn't it?
It
Just enough time for a little wee before we start our second
and a
recording.
restock of furs.
Yes, a restock of booze. I'm
That's right.
fabulous. What are you drinking, Sean Beano?
Well, look, I'm finishing off my bubbles from the first episode, but then I'm gonna switch over to a cheeky red.
A cheeky
You know, I
red.
like a red, but we are fully stocked on whites, rosés, and bubbles. The red, because we've stopped doing the wine subscriptions,
Why?
except
Why did you
for.
stop? You didn't tell me that.
So I'd started doing PT training once a week just to get back into weights. And the deal was
You had to give up one thing, you had
I
to
had
give
to
up
give up a
something
thing. So
else.
I gave up naked wine. We still have the good pear days, which comes through every month, but that's only four bottles and only one of them is a red. So getting down to, I'd say the scraps, but the scraps are the good bottles. So what I'm going to pop open later is a Scribe Barossa Shiraz Cab 2018.
No,
Yes. So it's going
that's
to be a
an
nice one.
oldie.
So we'll reveal how that tastes when I get to it. Speaking of just attacking the scraps of the reds, I came home the other night and Vinny was sat at the computer drinking a big glass of red, which he hates. He only likes his rosé, while he was finishing off his assessment. And I was like, oh, what one's that? Is that one of the new ones that just came from Good Pear Days today? No, it's one from the bottom of the rack. It was my 2019 Cab Sav. I was like, you bitch, I was saving that for the podcast. You can't get angry at him, I guess, when I've spent hundreds of dollars on wine and drunk it that he hasn't.
But if he wouldn't have drunk the whole bottle, right?
I know, but I
You
had to
finished
finish it. Well, you can't let it go bad. It'll turn to vinegar. Didn't want it to turn
leave it for
bad
a
now.
couple of days.
I do it. So what are you drinking, you stupid
Well, surprise, surprise. I'm also
Surprise,
drinking a red, and I
surprise.
think I could probably count on one hand the amount of times I've drunken a red on the podcast because I'm normally a whitey.
You are. Or
But
a
when,
rosé.
yeah, oh, I'm not really a rosy that much. I've done a couple, but when it gets a little bit colder, I do like a red.
Me
Although the last
too.
probably 6 months, Tyler and I have been quite into the cheeky reds.
I love a good red. And you're right, on a cold night too, it's the best.
And it's a different kind of drunk too. It's easier to sip a red and not get absolutely shit-faced. When I'm drinking whites, I'm like, give me more, give me more, give me more. Reds, I take little tiny sips and I could have one or two glasses and be slightly buzzed and be like, oh, okay, I'm ready for bed now.
Oh wow. See, I think red gets me more fucked up
Oh, it definitely
than
gets me
white
more fucked
does.
up, but it's easier to
Not drink.
draw the
Yeah.
line in the sand and go, I've actually had enough. Whereas with white, it's like, I've never had enough until the
Yeah.
bottles are all gone.
See, that's me. I'm flip with reds. Ask Vinny's father at Christmas, two Christmases ago, after having about six bottles of red that
I've
day.
seen you on three. I've seen
That's
you have three bottles.
pretty messy.
Yeah, I was pretty messy. Pretty messy.
Well, welcome everyone to this week's
Hold on, I haven't
episode.
said what it is, you stupid bitch.
Oh, yeah.
It's called St. Hallett from the Barossa, established 1944.
Oh.
Faith Cab Sav 2022.
Oh.
But I got an upsell. You know when you're at the front counter and they're
Yep.
like, look at our cheapies, I can give you this to you for $10. It's normally 20.
Love
But you're
that.
always really skeptical, aren't you? Like, is it really 10 or are you just trying to clear it out? Is it really a $20 bottle of wine?
Yeah, you
And
still get it though.
I haven't had a sip yet, but I'm going to have a sip. And also, I drink put ice. I drink my red cold from the fridge and I put a couple of cubes of ice in.
Wow. Okay, I don't disagree with putting it in the fridge because room temperature in France would
Is
be
cold. I
fridge
say this
temperature
all the
here.
time to people.
So I
It's a
don't
myth
see.
that we should drink room temperature wine in Australia because it's so fucking hot.
Hot, exactly. So I don't disagree with that. The ice thing, I'm intrigued with.
You know, I didn't for a really long time, and Tyler really got me onto ice in the white, and I never drank ice in, but I started putting ice in my white, and now I just always drink my white with ice because Tyler just always puts it in there.
Yeah, I don't mind a single cube in my white.
Yeah.
Rosé is made for ice, so it seems, because it's a summer wine.
Yeah. Yeah, but when I started getting – so I've finally turned a corner with Tyler on the whole red wine thing, because if you recall, when I first met him, he wouldn't touch a sip of wine. I was not having that. I was not going to be married to a non-wine drinker. Sorry.
Understandable.
Just doesn't suit me.
Hey, we all have our icks.
So, you know, I definitely pushed the white on him for a long time, and then I finally got him on to some reds. Yeah, he struggles a little bit. I think he struggles with that first glass, but once the second glass is poured, he's like, yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Artie's here.
He likes a bit of ice in his red, and then he just started doing it to mine. And now that he's done it, I actually quite enjoy the ice in the red.
In the so. It's interesting, like with red wine particularly, how the first glass can always have that bite and can be very dependent on what you've drunk just before.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt.
Or what you've eaten just before. Mm. You can be like, whoa, this is rough. And then you get to the second one, you're like,
oh, this is insane. Right? It's like it's a palate adjustment, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like you have it and you're like, oh, this is a really strong flavor. But then you keep going and you're like, oh, I remember the very first time I drank red wine. And I was living in a share house and I was about 19, and the girl that I lived with, she was obsessed with red wine, but it was back in the day, you know, you lived in a share house, you were poor as fuck.
Was it from a cask?
Yes. So she drank it from a cask and she used to keep it in the fridge. And she said to me one day, like, we were super poor, we had no booze, all we had is this fresh cask of red wine. And she said, have a red wine with me. I said, oh no, I couldn't. It's disgusting. I can't drink. And she's like, honestly, just have one glass with me and see how you go.
It's a Lambrusco.
Got shit faced in the kitchen. We were cleaning the kitchen and it was out. We were on like kitchen duty and we both had to clean it. And it was like the times when there was like six people living there and no one would do the dishes. We didn't have a dishwasher. So when you finally got to do your kitchen duty, every single plate, every single cup, every single piece of cutlery was absolutely filthy. So doing the dishes was like a 2 to 3 hour job. And so we were on kitchen duty and we were doing it. And she's like, you don't want to make this better. Let's have a red. And I was like, ooh.
Love that.
And then we did and we got fucking blind and cleaned the kitchen. I feel like she cleaned more than I did. I feel like I was just like sitting in the red corner.
You missed a spot. I used to love back in the day that cask wine, especially when I was saving for London, and I'd get a 4-litre cask of Coolabah for fucking $10. I'd get two for 20.
Yeah.
And fucking I would get absolutely wankered on them.
Is that red or white?
Usually I'd go the white, but I think Maria, is it Lambrusco that's a red cask?
Yeah, it is. I think Maria, it's a got me sweeter on that one though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I used Maria to buy cask wine when I bought my second house and I was poor as fuck because I was a single mother with a mortgage and I couldn't afford anything else. So I just get a cask of white wine and it would last me 2 weekends.
See, I'd probably go through a cask in a night and just be a fucking animal, but also smoking rollies at the same time, which was just disgusting.
Yeah, rollies.
Fucking end up with half the tobacco in your mouth after every drag. It's delicious. Well, welcome everybody to this week's episode of Stupid Bitches Say What, the Aussie podcast about everything and nothing, but always with your hosts, Skylie Collett.
And Sean, be no stupid bitch Hipkins.
Oh, my full name. You're special.
Full name. With all your titles squished in there.
PhD. And we are doing pop culture this week.
That's a reach, isn't it?
What could PhD stand PhD. For in my... in my
oh, I was thinking something came to mind and that's not appropriate. Pretty huge dongus.
We'll go with that. We can go with that. I like that. It is pretty.
But he will appreciate that joke.
He will. We are doing pop culture this week, and our theme is characters. So we're going to talk about
characters. That's right.
Some characters that we have fallen in love with and the reason why.
Oh, madly in love with.
Madly in love with her. But before we get to that, I believe you want to know how my week has been.
I do, in fact. I'm very, very excited. I've been waiting with bated breath to hear how your week has been. Please enlighten me.
I will, I will. So this week, the NHL playoffs started. And since, which is hockey for those.
What the fuck?
So for those who don't know at home.
Since he thinks he's a big sportsman now.
Since to our trip to Vancouver, I may have revealed for the first time in my life, I'm into an actual competitive sport. I mean, like, I've always liked male gymnastics and Dancing with the Stars, but I have never been a footy hand.
Dancing with the Stars is not a fucking competitive sport.
There is a winner and there are losers.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I've never been into football, any of the codes. I have never been into b-ball or any of the balls. Well,
doesn't like sports. Balls.
In sports.
Of the vinyl or rubber persuasion.
And I am now officially slightly obsessed with ice hockey. So when we went
Tyler's
to Vancouver.
Tyler's going to cry when he hears this episode. He's going to be crying.
When we went to Vancouver and we got to witness a game, the Canucks versus the Canadian Montreal, the Montreal Canadiens, sorry.
The famous Canucks.
Canucks, go Canucks, go. I really enjoyed it. The atmosphere was great. It was a sport I could follow. There was six aside. I could see them all, what they were doing.
He thought the men were hot and he liked
the
seeing
men were
them
delicious.
Fight.
I did like to see a little bit of argy-bargy. Hashtag, it's a real fight.
It's a real fight.
And just the sound of them, shkush, shkush on the ice and the moves they do and all that stuff. It's very cool. I personally found it very exciting. When we came back, I was trying to figure out how I could watch the hockey on Australian TV without having to commit to a KO fucking subscription or
this
something
is,
that was going to...
He really was doing this. He asked me questions about how we could get the hockey without getting KO. And I was like, oh, dear, you need to talk to my husband about this one.
I did not want to spend $30 to get all the sports. Anyway, at one day at work, I was talking to a colleague about it as well, and he was like... We were Googling, and then there's NHL TV, which was $15 a month. I thought, okay, I can commit to that and stop it when the Stanley Cup's over. On the bus ride home, I was flicking through my emails.
Stanley Cup, please.
What's a Stanley Cup? Oh, that's what they... That's...
You know. The... I think I've just rolled over in my grave.
So the Stanley Cup is
my future grave. I've rolled over in it. What the fuck?
Bucks are you talking about Eddie Cups for?
So what?
I was scrolling through my emails and I saw one from Foxtel because we have a package with them and we have everything but sports. And it said to me, just a reminder about the email we sent out that I do not remember receiving. Our packages are changing. Yours is now the platinum package, but it goes up $8 a month, but you now get sports. And I was like, oh my God, for the first time in my life, I have been happy that we actually have a sports channel. For the first time in my life.
Foxtel just for the sports package.
I'm like, for the first time in my life, I'm actually excited about a sport. So I would like, as I was saying, the playoffs started this week and I now have four teams that I have attached myself to in NHL. And let me tell you, there's a shit ton of fucking teams in the NHL because it covers America and Canada.
I can't believe you're even using the acronym, the NHL. When I was speaking to you in like football terms, you were like, you need to break it down into actual words. I don't know what you're talking about.
What are these anagrams that you're spouting out to me? So now, naturally, my first and my team is the Vancouver Canucks. I'm a JT Miller fan.
Oh, the Canucks. I like the Canucks too.
Oh, totally. And I fangirl over JT Miller. I have a jersey and a tee. I had JT Miller, Scoozy. There's a Peterson. There's a hot Russian who looks like he fights a lot. I think his surname's Henrik or something like that.
You just go to the sports bar with Tyler, why don't you?
We'd probably have the wrong couple. Oh, he's cute, isn't he?
Fight! It's a real fight! Everybody, come on!
Oh, it's funny too.
Right.
Vinny sits in the bedroom and I'll be out here watching it and fast forward through all this stuff, just watching the game. And he can hear me cheering and he's like, what the fuck is going on? They just got a goal, babe. But I can't see where the puck is
Is
at
it
the
a goal?
moment.
Do they call it goals?
Well, they shoot the puck into the goal. Yeah. Into a net. I guess it's a goal. Any hole's a goal, right, at some point.
They have a goalie.
They do have a goalie.
Therefore, it must be a goal.
But fucking watching, trying to watch the puck, all you see is like a group of men sort of scattering here and there, and I have no idea where the puck is, so I don't know how the fuck they play it. If I was a goalie, I'd be fucked. I'd be like, the fuck is this fucking thing? Trying to look around.
It's like the snitch.
Yeah, totally, pretty much.
The golden snitch, where the fuck is
I've got
snitch?
It. No, it's gone again. So I have a jersey, a Canucks jersey, and a T-shirt on the way. I was hoping they'd arrive by now so I could have rocked it for our podcast.
Are you fucking joking?
No. So $200 on a jersey and a T-shirt. I can't
literally
wait till
have
I get to you.
In my eyes. So, I'm crying for laughing so much.
My other team is the New York Islanders. And now I picked this team because I watched a match.
Because
I
had nice uniforms.
No, but one of those is for that reason, because I watched a match and it was called the Battle for New York, Battle of New York, where they played the New York Rangers. I thought, oh, this will be good.
Strong names. Strong name.
And the Rangers were tipped to win, but the Islanders had a shite season, except their last five matches. They won the last five matches, would put them in contention to make the playoffs, which I was like, oh. So I was rooting for them.
Literally have
you
tears
know,
in
underdog.
My eyes, by the way. I have to wipe them away because I'm laughing so fucking hard.
So I was rooting for the Islanders because they're an underdog and they are now one of my teams that I mother. The other one I go for is the Las Vegas Golden Knights because it's Vegas.
That's a cool name.
And it's Vegas. And the other one are the Dallas Stars. And this one I picked because I wanted to go for the team that had the green jerseys that I liked.
Ooh.
Green's my favorite color. The jerseys look cool. And I found out it was Dallas, which works because, you remember, Vinny, Kate and I had the most fucked up night in Dallas where we all got spiked and separated and locked out of our apartment till we found Vinny in the wee hours of the morning. So I thought, well, that works. I'll go the Dallas Stars. So they're my four teams.
Wow.
So see how they go. But it's a bit disappointing because Dallas.
Now you need
and
to start betting on them. You need to get your own sports bet.
I did do a $5 bet on Vinny's one with the Canucks and we won.
We've created a monster. No, we've created two monsters.
Yes.
Sports
Vinny
bet
with his
should
gambling.
Pay us commission.
And me with my NHL. The other thing I really wanted to quickly talk about was Baby Reindeer. Have you seen it?
I've heard everything, and Nat was talking a bit about it last night when I was out with her, and I've seen a few things. It's not my cup of tea. Stalking isn't
good.
My cup of tea.
It's not like a true crimey thing. The story is actually.
That tear just rolled down my nose there that I didn't actually wipe with my jacket from laughing so hard, by the way.
It's actually really good. We watched it on Netflix. It's dark, it's deep. And it's based around this barman who gives this chick, Martha, a drink on the house because she forgot her purse one day. Then the chick is a maniac. She comes in every day after that, orders a Diet Coke, never drinks it, says how busy she is and that how busy she is in that day. But she just stays at the pub for hours talking, like she's not doing all this shit that she's saying, oh, I've got to go do this, this and that, and rah, rah, but she stays in the pub for hours. He gets on well with her and they form a friendship. He's a struggling comedian and no one laughs at his jokes when he's performing until she goes to a show. And she starts wetting herself at some of them, which encourages other people to laugh. So it becomes a bit of a success. But then it just becomes an absolute shit show for him. She becomes super obsessed. And when he finally rejects her, she goes absolutely bananas. She'll wait at a bus stop near his house for hours just so she can scream out abuse at him when she finally sees him for 30 seconds. And then she'll stay at the bus stop, fucks with his personal life and friends. Then it takes this real different turn in episode four where he goes back in time and talks about why he is the way he is within these situations and how he's been groomed to become a victim, basically. It's definitely worth a watch.
Why is it called Baby Reindeer? That's the thing that I could never understand.
She calls him Baby Reindeer.
Why?
She has all these pet names for me. Find that out at the end.
Oh, it's a bizarre name for a show that's about stalking.
The main character in it, who was the guy, wrote the show as a that was based off a one-man comedy stage show that he performed a few years ago. Mm. And it's actually based on true life events for him. He's had to come out and tell people to stop trying to figure out who Martha is and shit. That's not the point of the show.
So it's actually, is it a fictional show or a documentary style show?
It's like a... So it's a fictional show based on true events.
Right, okay.
So it's not like a true crimey, stalkery one where it's scary, spooky. It's actually quite funny, dark.
Mm. So it's like people a black acting comedy. It out like they're actually playing the role.
Yeah. But no, it's very good. Vinny even enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah. So totally give it a crack if you're lost for something. And it's easy watching. I think we watched 3 episodes one night and then the last 3 the next night. It's only 6 eps.
Okay.
All right. So how's your week been, you stupid bitch?
My week's been good. The thing that I really wanted to talk about tonight was I just want to get back to the whole book club thing. Been reading a little bit lately. Picked up a book that is called The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart.
Oh, yes. And series this is, on Prime.
Yes. Well, I brought the book because I saw that it was a series starring Sigourney Weaver, and I love Sigourney Weaver. Mm-hmm. Huge fan. So I was like, oh my God, there's a series that's based on a book. I'm getting that fucking book. And I think it was promoted heavily by Reese's Book Club and a whole bunch of other, you know, ones out there.
Is it a book or a series of books?
It's one book. Mm-hmm. And then they made the show or the movie. I think it might be a movie. Is it a movie or a show? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's a limited series if it is a series.
Yeah. Guy at work told me about it and said, yeah, it's good. Watch it. He said, yeah, it is a series because he said he's only watched the first episode. But he said from the first 10 minutes of the first episode, you're like, whoa.
Well, that's pretty much the first bit of the book. The first chapters, I was ugly crying. It was so sad. A very brutally told story. I don't know. Did I do Lessons in Chemistry, the book that I read on here, the one that's now the show that has the blonde chick who I also love, who's one of the Avengers?
I remember you talking to
Captain
me about
Captain Marvel.
It.
You know the blonde one who plays Captain Marvel? What's her name? Yeah. I've lost it. And she's in Room. You know the one in Room?
Oh, yeah, she is too.
What's her fucking name? It's going to really bother me that I don't know what it is. Anyway, so Lessons in Chemistry was a bit similar. A very brutal story but told in a very moving way. Brie Larson, that's it. I love her. So similar to that feel, not the story, but yes, quite a brutal book, quite confronting in a lot of things, a lot of domestic violence situations. It's really, really full on, but loved it. What a great book it was. Couldn't put it down, stayed up until 2 a.m. reading it when I had to go to work the next day. But I'm super, super pumped to watch the show. And I think Tyler will really like it too, because, you know, he loves a little limited series and generally gets into them, especially when they're a bit drama and stuff like that. But it's on my list to watch, but I haven't gotten to the show yet. So I highly recommend it. And I think, you know, we talked about doing some of our posts, like the shows that we recommend.
Yes, we'll do a book club one.
Do a book club one where we recommend the books that we've read. But you've been a little bit slack on the whole book reading thing.
I have.
You haven't really read anything since Boy Swallows Universe.
I haven't. So what we'll do, we'll do in the highlights, we'll have our SBSW book club and SBSW TV club or something like that.
Yeah, I like that TV club. Yeah.
Yeah, so I have been very slack on it. So the initial reason why I was slack.
I give you books all the time. I've given you 2 books lately that I think that you will love and you haven't read them.
Well, we got our lamps were terrible, the bedside lamps. You couldn't read by them. I tried to, but we've got new lamps. I just now need to make that commitment where I start giving myself half an hour to an hour of a night time where I turn the phone off, just have the lamp and read instead of.
Look, I have to force myself some nights, and some nights I just am not up for it. Like, I'm not interested. But once I pick up one that is I cannot put down, then I become obsessed. Well, all I want to do is read. Like, I took The
that
Lost
was
Flowers.
Boy Swallows Universe for me.
Yeah. Well, I took The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart. I took it to work, and I didn't even take a lunch break at work. I'm so busy. But I literally went, I'm going to go sit in the meeting room and hide out for and half read. An hour and cool. eat my lunch and read it for half an hour because that's how good it was.
Okay. I'll make a commitment on this coming Monday to start reading before bed, because I just lay there thinking for 2 hours anyway. So I
Yeah.
may as well read. What was the one that you gave me that I must read? And I've heard someone else
There
talk
was
about it.
two I gave you. So I gave you the one about the movie star, the seven husbands of Evelyn Hugo, I think it was, that I thought you would really love because it's a bit like they go to what's the thing that you did in one of our first podcasts, the LGBTQ thing,
Stonewall.
Stonewall. It's like it's fictional,
Yeah.
but they bring in historical events into it. And I thought you would really love that. And then I also gave you the dragon one, which I couldn't put down. So the dragon one
Yes. What's that called?
is
The first wing or something like
the
that, or the
first wing.
seventh.
Yeah. And then there's a second one. So there's two out. Huge cult following.
Yeah.
My sister recommended it to Tyler to get me for Christmas. He got it for me for Christmas. Took me a while to pick it up because I thought it was a bit teeny bopper. Very teeny bopper, but still dragons. Come on.
Yeah,
Like,
always fun.
like the whole romance, I love you more, I love you. Like that was a little bit, cringe. But the dragon part was really fucking cool. The second book was
Okay.
nowhere near as good as the first.
Oh,
But
wow, you've read the second one already. Is it
and they're
just as big?
huge. They're huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, hu the second one's bigger.
Oh, God.
But talking about your reading light and not having the right lighting. So when I was reading that first wing, we had a power outage at our house and it was a really big one, but it affected just our box. So we
Of
had like
course.
the Energex had to come out and fix it and all that sort of stuff. And I had to wait for them to come because they had to talk to me. And it was like they were coming in, the middle of the night because it was their fault. Like they had to fix it and replace our box. So I was literally reading it and I was on holidays from work and they didn't rock up until about 12:30 at night to come and fix this power box. And our power went off because it was flickering.
Yeah.
It was really bad and it was flickering constantly and kept shorting everything. And when I rang Energex, they were like, you need to actually disconnect it at the power box. That's really bad. Like if it's doing that, it's very, very dangerous. So switch it off
It's
straight away.
surging.
We'll have an emergency team out soon. And they came within about 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours. But I was literally in bed with the torch on my phone. This is how hooked I was on this book, reading it with the torch on my phone, like in
Wow.
complete darkness in the middle. Tyler's snoring next to me and I'm torch reading.
You
That's
need
how
one
good
of
it
those
was.
headlamps.
Yeah. But it got roasted. Like there's heaps of people, young
And it's
people who
called the
love
fourth
it.
wing. I just Googled it, the fourth
That's
wing.
the first one. And the second one's the
Yes.
iron something. The eye. I've got it. It's right here, I think. Where is it on my book? Oh, it's not facing me. It's facing the other way.
Iron Flame.
I'm fine. That's it. Yeah. So it wasn't as good as the first one, but the first one I couldn't put down. But it was all because of the dragons that hooked me. I love those fucking dragons. Like, I want to ride a dragon. I want to ride one right now. But
Veruca, you got
yeah,
plenty of dragons at
sweetheart,
home.
baby. But yeah, so just a little bit of book club there. And then I picked up another one and I've just started reading it. And it's called Before You Knew My Name.
Okay.
And it's one that has been so I get into these stages where I just buy a bunch of books and it takes me forever to read them. And I have a stack next to my bed that I usually put in order of how I'm going to read them.
Yeah.
But sometimes, so that the Lost Flowers of Alice Hart sat on my bedside table for over a year. I think I brought it when I first moved into this house and I've been here for
Wow.
2.5 years and I finally read it. And Before You Knew Her Name is another one that I've just picked up and I've started reading and it's really good. And it's about a chick who gets murdered in New York on the first day she comes from like a country bumpkin type town. She gets on a bus, comes to New York, is there for a day, gets murdered, and the girl who finds her body, is trying to get to know her. And so that's like the ghost telling the story of
Yeah.
what happened piece by piece, and then there's the girl who found her body becoming obsessed with trying to find out what happened to her. So she I think I just wheezed then. Got to lay off the vapes, baby. As she adds another vape. So there's the chick who found her body who becomes obsessed with finding out what happened whilst the ghost is telling the story.
Oh,
So it
cool.
started quite well.
I
And
like that
there's
concept.
heaps of reviews about how it doesn't focus on what happened to her, it focuses her as a person. So while she's
Right.
a victim and she was murdered,
Yes.
It's more about who she was before she was murdered, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, and which is always what
is lacking.
Well, you don't get that in literature at all, no. Mm. But like that's what when shit like that happens in real life, the families want you to know that they were a person. They weren't this sensationalized.
They weren't this pretty photo that you see
what happened to them isn't what all they were about. They were a person and all
they
that.
Had so all these cool other concept. Things going on. I know. Yeah. I think it's really cool. So I'm really excited to give a review on that when I get to it.
Very good.
Once I finish reading it, but I'm trying to be really good about reading. I'm trying to at least pick up a book once a week because
I need to do that. I need to read before I go to bed.
And when I do, I love it and I miss it so much. And then I finish a book and I'm like, oh, you do. I sleep so much better when I'm reading as opposed to being on my phone for ages or watching telly.
Well, you know, you're talking about the Do You Know My Name or whatever it is. That's what I kept saying to you. Watch that fucking show, School Spirits or whatever it is, on Paramount.
You tell me so many shows. And to be fair, I do listen to a lot of your recommendations and I do actually watch a lot of shit that you make me watch, but there's so many things. Sometimes I want to watch my own things.
It's like a detective thing where she's a ghost and her and a real person are trying to figure out what happened to her. But you know about her life through watching it. But totally, I've watched it twice. I can't wait for the second season.
That says a lot if you've watched it twice.
I'll watch it again.
Watch it again.
All right, you stupid bitch. You're first up.
Oh,
speaking of characters, books, and movies and TV shows. Oh my!
I fucking lost my notes again. What do I keep doing? I just keep closing them down. It's so weird.
You're weird.
Hold on. You're weirder. let me get it. Oh my god, there's red wine on my computer screen. It's just like a little one drop of red wine on my screen. I don't know how they got that. Is that old? Is it new? Is it from tonight? Is it from a different time?
We'll touch it. Is it dry?
There's actually a few drops. I think I keep slapping it down when I put it down maybe, and it's spraying.
You do spit when you talk.
Fuck off, I do know, you dumb bitch.
All right, I'm cracking my red.
Okay. So I'm so excited for this. Anne of Green Gables. What do you know about her? And I'm going to get a bit rambly through this.
I'm going to say, look, I've heard of her. I don't know much about her. It was more when it came to she's a redhead. I remember Pippi Longstockings more than I do Anne of Green Gables.
I was thinking that you would make references to Pippi Longstocking the whole thing. I was actually going to say to you, it's almost Pippi Longstocking, but it's not. Real similarity is that it's old stories and they've got red hair.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Is it fantasy? Is it more drama? Is it more Little Women type of style?
It's a little bit more Little Women, I would say, but I think better. Like, I like Little Women, but they've remade it so many times. It's like, come on. It's the same story over and over, you know. Joe's the girl. You think she's the boy at first. And fucking
I've never seen
the little one. You've never seen never read the book, Little Women?
No, I know they do.
Oh, my God.
I know there was Little Women. And then there's Little Men as well.
Is there?
Yeah. I remember having the books, Little Women, Little Men. There's a series of shit.
Oh, okay. I don't know about that. Actually, it kind of sounds familiar to me now that you say it. Okay, so it's going to seem a little old-fashioned here, but this book was originally written in 1908 by a Canadian novelist named Lucy Montgomery. The whole series is based on a fictional Canadian town of Avonlea, which is loosely based on the author's childhood experiences growing up on Prince Edward Island. Ooh. I looked it up and it's north of Nova Scotia.
Because I was just thinking, I wonder where Prince Edward Island is.
So it's north of the Nova Scotia Peninsula. I said, I wonder if Kate has been there. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Kate.
It's proper stunning in the films, like
proper stunning.
And I'm just gonna divert a little bit here because I told you I've tried to tell you a bunch of times that I've been watching Haven, which is that old Stephen King show from like 15 years ago, and it's really good. And Tyler's super hooked. And we were watching it. We've got 3 episodes left. We've got 3 episodes left, right? And we went to put the third. So it's 5 seasons. The first four seasons are only like 13 or 15 episodes. The last season was 24 episodes. Jesus. And we got to episode 13 in the last season, went, fuck, oh my God, how can it finish like this? And then we looked and there was like another 13 episodes because we thought it had finished on this major cliffhanger. Anyway, and we went to watch the third last episode and they've fucking taken it off Prime and you can't get it anywhere. Oh, there was no warning that they were taken off, so you can't get it anywhere. We have to pay like $10 an episode for it.
What's it called? Haven.
Haven. Based on a Stephen King book, like a standalone, and then they made it into this whole big thing. But it's supposed to be based in Maine, in the US, but it's actually filmed in Canada. And it is the most beautiful, picturesque place ever. And I am just so desperate to go to those towns. Like, I want to go to Maine, but I also want to go to Nova Scotia. Like, I want to see all those really quaint little spots where they're on the ocean and have all the cliffs and stuff like that. So it's very stunning in the films. Like, it's beautiful. So back to End of Green Gables, please. So there are books and films, and I was talking to my sister about it just yesterday, actually. And she says that we watched the film before we read the books, but I'm not really sure if that's how it happened. She swears that we watched the film first. The film came out in 1985. But I've read all the books and seen the films multiple times. The first one is streaming on Foxtel if you want to watch it. I'm not sure if the others are there. So there's three films, and I think they did a couple of versions of it later on, a prequel version, a couple others. Not sure I'm that interested in those ones, but the three original ones are insane. They are so good.
There's also Netflix has done a remake of it, I think, called Anne with an E.
Yeah. Yes.
Have you watched any of that?
I haven't, because it was a little bit youthful for my taste, but my sisters watched it and said it was amazing.
Okay.
So she said it's not as good as the films, but she said it was really good and she's glad that she watched it. So I don't know, maybe I'll go there. But the films seem very so they're very old-fashioned filmed because they're set in the 1900s, but they were made in 1985. And the chick in it is just, she's such a great actor. She's so charismatic that you just adore her. And it's, you know, it goes on. Like, honestly, I'm begging you to watch it. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. So I've read all the books and seen the films multiple times. I really wanted to watch it again fresh before the podcast, but I just ran out of time. I had meant to see it, but I just didn't get around to it, which I'm like a bit disappointed about because it would have been really fresh in my mind. So it's set in the late 19th century. The novel recounts the adventures of an 11-year-old orphan girl named Anne Shirley, sent by mistake to two middle-aged siblings, Matthew and Marilla Cuthbert, who had originally intended to adopt a boy to help them on their farm in the fictional town of Avonlea in Prince Edward Island in Canada. The novel recounts how Anne makes her way through life with the Cuthberts in school and within the town.
Right.
It sounds really boring, but it's actually like such a good show. Since its publication, Anne of Green Gables has been translated into at least 36 languages.
And that's what you got to say. Like, even though you're saying it sounds boring, if it's been translated and it's been remade so many fucking times, movies, there's got to be something there.
They teach it in schools. Like, the first book is like, you know, one of those literary books that you read in English and stuff like that. And has sold more than 50 million copies, making it one of the best-selling books worldwide. It was the first of many novels. Montgomery wrote numerous sequels, and since her death, another sequel has been published, as well as the authorized prequel titled Before Green Gables. I think it's a little bit similar to like V.C. Andrews, you know, how Virginia Andrews wrote the books, but then they went on to make other series based on some of her notes and things like that.
Yeah. That guy, wasn't it?
Yeah, the dude. Yeah. And then that's a whole, I should have put that in my How's Your Week Been, the fact that I went on that whole incest journey and I ended up getting totally on board with it, man. I was obsessed with those movies.
What was he like through them?
Oh, he, when I was watching The Flowers of the Attic, I watched them all and they are absolute trash, but I could not get enough of them. And he was like going, Skye, this is so messed up. They are brother and sister, and there's sex scenes with them, and they're like living as man and wife. How are you watching this? And then I went on to Heaven. So if you remember from the VC Andrews episode, Heaven was my all-time favorite books. And I said that they'd made the series, but she was a redhead. And I was like, I couldn't bring myself to watch it. But after I'd been through the trash of The Flowers in the Attic, I went, I'm just going to give it a go. And there was a couple of times I nearly stopped. But once I started, that train just kept going, man. And is there's five on, movies in is, that
oh,
one.
Oh, it's good. And are they on Fox as well?
All free on Foxtel.
Okay.
But if you're going to do it, I do it from The Flowers in the Attic first and then go into The Heaven. But The Heaven is equally as twisted. It is so twisted, man.
They haven't made a movie, Garden of Shadows, though, have they?
Garden of Shadows. Yeah, they have.
Is that one of them? Because that's the prequel to Flowers in the Attic.
Oh, sorry, the prequel of Flowers in the Attic. No, but they made the prequel version of the Heaven one, and that was actually really fucking good. That was the last one. And I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to get into it. Watch 5 minutes, I was hooked.
Okay.
That was the one Tyler watched with me. He was like, this is an excellent movie. And I'm like,
And would you recommend watching that first in Heaven?
No, definitely not. You'd go to the Heaven first. You'd watch it in the order that they were probably meant to be watched. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I keep digressing.
That's all right. Cheers. I'm on the reds now, It's delicious, by the way.
No, it's super delicious. It's super trashy, both of those series, but it's like, I was telling a friend when I was out for dinner the other night, I was like, you got to watch it, man. It's like, you just can't look away. I watched them all in a week, just watching them at night, just plowing through them. Anyway, where was I? So the book has been adapted as films, television films, an animated and live action television series. Musicals and plays have also been created with productions annually in Canada, Europe, and Japan.
Oh.
So summary, there's some spoilers, please. Are you ready for it? Actually, I don't want to tell you one of the main spoilers because it's a bit brutal and I want you to watch it. I might keep that bit out of it.
All right. You can give me some spoilers. It might intrigue me to watch.
So Anne Shirley, a young orphan from the fictional community of Bolingbroke, is sent to live with Marilla and Matthew Cuthbert, unmarried siblings in their 50s and 60s after a childhood spent in strangers' homes and orphanage. The way she leaves one of her adopted family's home is incredibly brutal, especially to a young girl. So it came out in 1985. I think I watched it maybe when I was like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Brutal, brutal show in parts. So Marilla and Matthew had originally sought to adopt a boy from the orphanage to help Matthew run their farm at Green Gables, which is set in the fictional town of Avonlea.
Avonlea.
Through a misunderstanding, the orphanage sends Anne instead. Anne is fanciful, imaginative, eager to please, and dramatic. Boy, is she dramatic. She's also adamant her name should always be spelt with an E at the end.
Anne with an E.
Yeah, Anne with an E. And she says that all the time too. However, she's defensive about her appearance, despising her red hair, freckles, and pale, thin frame, but liking her nose.
It's understandable.
She's talkative, especially when it comes to describing her fantasies and dreams. At first, stern Marilla, the sister, says Anne must return to the orphanage, but after much observation and consideration, along with kind, quiet Matthew's encouragement, Marilla decides to let her stay. Anne takes much joy in life and adapts quickly, thriving in the close-knit farming village. Her imagination and talkativeness soon brighten up Green Gables.
It's kind of like an Annie.
A little bit. Yeah, it's a little bit like that, but completely different story.
No songs.
The book recounts Anne's struggles and joys in settling into Green Gables, her first real home she's ever known, the country school where she quickly excels in her studies, her friendship with Diana Barry, the girl living next door, her best or bosom friend, as Anne fondly calls her budding literary ambitions and her rivalry with her classmate Gilbert Blythe, who teases her about her red hair. For that, he earns her instant hatred, although he apologizes several times. As time passes, however, Anne realizes she no longer hates Gilbert.
She loves him.
But her pride and stubbornness keep her from speaking to him. I think Gilbert Blythe was probably one of my first real boy crushes.
Really? Through literature as well?
Yeah,
Or through the movies?
I think both. I think the books are so good, though. Who's your first boy crush? Well, boy or girl crush?
It was definitely, well, my first girl crush was Dolly Parton. My mother said I was obsessed with her.
Totally relatable. I had a girl crush on Dolly Parton, absolutely.
My mum said I was obsessed with her as a kid, and she thought it was because of her boobs. I beg to differ, mother.
Your talent.
My first boy crush. Oh, probably Billy Warlock from Baywatch. I was obsessed with him.
What?
And that
which
was
one?
When I was
The
probably
boy?
about 13. No.
Billy Warlock. I know the
Billy
name.
Billy Warlock. He went out with Erica Eleniak.
Oh, right. Erica.
In the
yes,
show.
That romance thing. Yeah. Remember Baywatch? God, that was the show that you watched every week without fail. It was like the show, wasn't it?
It was, I would go, when we would go away, I'd have the recorder set for it, the VCR, and I'd tell Stuart and his friends who'd be staying at home, do not touch this. If you're doing anything, rah, 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 it's recording Baywatch. I need to watch Baywatch. And he was quite impressed.
And it was complete junk TV too. If we watched it now, we'd just be like going, oh, groan. Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, he was
so
hot.
I was obsessed with him. And I think Stuart was quite proud because he thought I just wanted to see the chicks in the swimsuits. It was Billy Warlock, man. I wanted everything about him.
And the old Hoff, David Hasselhoff.
I
his
could, I could,
DTs. Oh, no, he was gross.
I could turn off on the Hoff.
Yeah, gross. Anyways, so the book also follows Anne's adventures in Avonlea. Episodes include playtime with her friend Diana, calm, placid Jane Andrews, and beautiful boy crazy Ruby Gillis. She has run-ins with the unpleasant Pye sisters, Gertie and Jersey, and frequent domestic scrapes such as dyeing her hair green while intending to dye it black. And this is one of my favorite ones. And accidentally getting Diana drunk by giving her what she thinks is raspberry cordial, which turns out to be currant wine. So they have a picnic, like, because they're like best friends, like the bestest friends that have ever existed. She's never had a best friend before, and she's been in this orphanage.
Love it.
So they love each other to death and they're inseparable. And then she finally convinces Marilla to let her have like a little picnic at the house. And she's like, fine. And you can have a little bit of raspberry cordial. Cause it's like in the 1900s, you know, like that was like a huge
cordial.
Delight. Cordial.
Yeah.
And they say it cordial.
Yeah.
And she picks the wrong bottle and she gives her current wine. She gets absolutely shit faced and they're only like 14. And then she's spewing everywhere and falling over.
Oh,
and then they
God.
have to take her home. And then the mother refuses to let them hang out for ages.
Yeah.
And then that whole thing changes, but I won't tell you what happens there.
Can I just say quickly, one, what a cool name is Billy Warlock, by the way. So speaking of dyeing your hair green accidentally, I remember in grade 10 or 9, maybe even, yeah, I think it was 10. It was grade 9. I was wanted to dye my hair because I got so much shit for being albino, which now, you know, was an actual fashion statement. I tried to dye my hair hazelnut and I put this dye through it, this rinse that the hairdresser gave me. My hair went purple. I washed my hair about 50 times and it still had a tinge of purple in it. I remember going to school one
And Todd
that
Huddle wouldn't
day.
Let you in at school?
No, she let me in. So I remember walking through with Matt. And
sorry,
Matt
listeners,
just
Todd Hunter was our high school
vice
principal.
Vice principal.
Yeah, and she was
Well,
like,
she was my English teacher as well.
She was
at the
honestly
time.
Like white on rice, mate.
She was my English teacher at the time as well. I remember as Matt and I were walking to school and the sun had hit my hair. He was like, what the fuck have you done? I was like, oh no. And then I went to school and I got called Ribena Berry for fucking as ever long as purple my hair was. And Miss Todd Hunter said to me, I won't, what happened? I told her I tried to dye it brown. She goes, I won't send you to the principal's office. I think this is punishment enough.
Well, I have a hair dyeing story with Todd Hunter. So I did the same thing. I put a whole bunch, remember Sun In? used to put the sun in, you'd spray it, and it was like acid, like lemon
Oh, okay.
acidic, and it used to make your hair look blonde. I was super fucking blonde anyway. I don't know why I did it. Everyone was doing it. It was super cool. So I had all this sun in my hair, and then my friend at the time convinced me to put a red rinse through, and it was the one that you buy at the chemist, and it says it's a rinse. It'll be washed out in like eight washes or something like that. I put it in, and because I was already so fair
The
and
red
I
would
put the sun
cling to
in,
the
it
fucking
clung
hair.
to it. So my hair was bright red. And I went to school and they said to me, you can't come in here like this. You have to go to the hairdresser. And back then, you know, we never had any cash, certainly not for the hairdresser. So mum didn't have the money to send me to the hairdresser to get them to bleach it out. So they said to me, right, well, you have to do studies in the office, in the deputy's principal office. You have to sit there and do all your classes and we'll give you the classes. And mum waltzed in the day that they sent me to the office, because they rang her and said, you need to sort this out. And she came in and she said, well, what are you going to do with her? I can't afford to send her to the hairdresser yet. I will, but I don't know when I'll be able to do it. And they said, well, she has to sit in here and do all her classes until it comes out. And she said, well, fuck that. She's not sitting in this office and doing her classes. She can come home. You can give her all the work and she can do it at home.
Oh, wow. And did you?
Yeah, I did, for 2 weeks until mum could afford to send me to the hairdressers. But the whole time, my friend, who just come back from England, one of Beck's friends, she was unemployed. And so every day her and I just went out. I must have been, it was the end of year 10, I think it was. And her and I just went out and just run amok. I didn't do any studies. Best punishment ever.
Ever. Yeah. I remember getting suspended too, being like, mate.
Yeah. I got suspended so many times, Alex Elsman.
So, I think
God,
so.
We've definitely digressed.
Yes.
The red wine's taking us away, of course.
Let's go back to the redhead.
This is going to be really hard to edit, man. Anyway, I have to find my place. Okay. So, I talked about the scene, about the current one. Okay. So then there's this other scene where Diana and Anne are in a boat and Anne is acting out her favorite poem, which is Lady of Shalott. I actually have the picture of the Lady of Shalott in a boat hanging in the spare room that used to be in the hall. So have you seen that picture?
Oh, wow.
It's got a wood frame and there's a woman, like a very old fashioned picture. And she's in a boat with like all like things wrapped around her and beads and stuff like that. You've never seen that picture at my house?
Let me just Google it. Lady of the Shalott.
Oh, I Googled it, and the version of the picture that I have, I couldn't find it. So, but it's just a chick in a boat, and it was mum's picture, and I loved it for years and years and years. And eventually I was like, I want that picture. Can I have it? And she's like, no, love this picture too.
I
and then she
a
gave
chick
it to
in
me.
A boat.
So it's in the
it
spare room
Viking.
Where you guys always sleep when you stay over.
Is it like Viking-ish?
Yeah, very much so. So it's I did a little bit of research on the actual poem, but it's based on a poem by 19th century English poet Alfred Tennyson. It's a poem
Alfred
about
Tennyson.
It's a poem about Camelot and the Lady of Shalott falling in love with Lancelot but dying before she meets him mysteriously in a boat, broken heart maybe, because she thinks she can never have him. But then he sees her in the boat dead and thinks she is beautiful. The end was.
The end.
But they act out this this play, this poem, in a real boat, and then she gets stuck, and then Gilbert Blythe has to rescue her because all these waters come through and she's down the stream.
So it's
and Diana's
of,
trying to get her and she can't, and then Gilbert
it's like
rescues
art,
her.
Imitation, imitating life, imitating art.
Back to the story. At 16, Anne goes to Queen's Academy to earn a teaching license, along with Gilbert, Ruby, Josie, Jane, and several other students, excluding Diana, much to Anne's dismay. Now, Diana's mother wouldn't let her go because she just wanted her to be a housewife and get married and be pretty. She didn't want her to study because girls didn't study back then. She obtains her license in 1 year instead of two because she was super, super smart. And wins the Avery Scholarship awarded to the top student in English. The scholarship will allow her to pursue a Bachelor of Arts. The saddest, most heartbreaking scene for my little young heart. I don't want to tell you this because you need to watch it. No, I'm going to skip that. Anyway,
okay.
there's a real heartbreaking part that
All
you
right.
need
well,
to
when I
watch
watch
the
it,
film.
We'll mention it in the
yes.
podcast.
So the film is up there with one of my all-time favorites, as are the books. It is a story about love and determination and friendship. If you can get past the old-fashioned nature of it.
But that has a certain charm sometimes.
I think you should definitely give it a go.
Okay.
And even Sarah, so Sarah was telling me, my sister was telling me that she read it to my niece, and they read all the books together. Like it was one, when she was a bit younger, my niece was, and she would read it to her every night. They'd do a couple of chapters a night and stuff like that. Yeah. And she just loved it, and then watched the films and stuff like that. So, I mean, nice. I probably wouldn't recommend cool the memories. Books to you, but I would definitely recommend the movies. Yeah.
That's nice that Sarah's been able to sort of pass that love on to her children, and hopefully one day that keeps going.
Yeah, but Anne of Green Gables is a massive obsession for me and Sarah. Like if we were just hanging out and had nothing to do and one of us said, let's put Anne of Green Gables on, we'd be like, fuck yeah, let's watch it. Well, really, I want to know when you're going to watch it. That's my wrap up. It's on Foxtel right now, so fucking I want you to watch it this weekend.
Okay, well, I've got to watch Anne of Green Gables, Flowers in the Attic,
Heaven,
and you've got to watch School Spirits.
Okay, deal.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to go into my segment, which is based on Taylor Swift's characters from her folklore album, and it's a teen love triangle. And the characters
are... I'm excited about this, actually.
The characters are Betty, James, and Augustine, please. So I have to thank the Swifties, who are mad investigators and absolute machines when it comes to decoding shit that Tay-Tay does, plus my own little obsessions. So basically, Taylor has, in her album Folklore, she's created three characters, Betty, James, and Augustine. Betty and James were a high school romance. Betty dances with another guy at the school prom, which sends James off on a tailspin.
That's right, because there's versions, isn't there?
There is different.
You've made me watch them when we've been drunk.
Yeah, I think we got through two. I don't think we did Cardigan. Mm.
Did Cardigan. We did them all.
There's one, I think. Maybe it's August. So he leaves the prom and Augustine pulls up in a car and tells him to get in. And they basically have an affair for a summer month in August, to be precise, please, before James realizes he's fucked up and he really wants just to be with Betty. And Betty finds out because she heard the rumor from Inez. You can't believe a word she says most times, but this time it was true.
And Inez and Betty are Ryan Reynolds and what's her name's kids? Blake Lively's kids.
Augustine. Is Augustine one of the kids?
But Betty and Inez are definitely their kids' names, but I don't know about Augustine.
She used that as some of her Easter eggs. Yeah, she released, I think, one of the names of the kids before they did in the song, but they didn't know it. We didn't know it. So each of the characters have a song telling their version of events of what happened and how it affected them, etc. And the songs are done at different parts in each person's life. So like James's version is pretty much at the time when it happened, whereas Betty's version's years later when she's reflecting on shit. So let's look at the songs and what they are about. And then we can look at the crossovers and links between them all. And fuck, I love Taylor for this. She's a musical genius, please. Okay, so as mentioned, all these songs are from her folklore album. Great album. But actually, before we get into it, I have to say, before I knew about this love triangle saga and the songs, Folklore was one of my mediocre eras. Like, I love the song Exile. I think you love the song Exile as well.
Oh, is that on that album? I didn't realize it was on one of our albums because it's a duet. I thought maybe it was just like a standalone one. So it's actually on that album.
On there. Great song. But there weren't that many other songs I liked until now.
I just wish there was a film clip for Exile. You know what I'm saying?
I know. It would make a great film clip. Or have you ever seen the live version where she's in like a house? Because it's during COVID.
No.
She's in the house and you see him and her singing it. Very, very good.
We'll watch it after this. I have not seen that.
We'll watch it after this. Folklore was one of my mediocre eras. And I only found out about the Betty James Augustine saga a couple of weeks before we went to see her Eras concert in Sydney. A work buddy of mine, hi Kim, was telling me about it. And so I started listening to them and then I just became obsessed. So the first song we're going to look at is called Betty, and it's from the perspective of James, Betty's lover.
Can you just Google Augustine and see if it is one of the other kids? I'm curious now. I can't get out of my, my mind.
Who is it again? The parents?
Blake Lively. Ryan. So that's her best friend. She was at the Chiefs game with her in the stands when they won.
And Ryan Reynolds, isn't it?
Yeah. Deadpool guy.
James, Inez, Betty, and baby number four.
Is she pregnant again?
Well, she must be. It's baby number four.
So there James, is no Augustine then.
So James is one, Betty is one, and Inez is one.
Oh, yeah, because James is, but James is a girl. It's not a boy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so well, they've got all girls. Interesting,
because when I was reading, doing my research on this, that someone...
Cool name for a girl too. I love James for a girl. I think it's the best name for a girl.
Well, they were saying in it, they never actually say the gender of the characters in the songs. So there could be some queer relation to it. James could be a girl. We don't know. Anyway, so that makes sense.
In the film clip, he's a boy though, isn't he?
I haven't seen the actual full film clips. I've only ever seen the era's versions.
Okay.
So anyway, in the songs, James sings about how he had planned to apologize to Betty for cheating on her with Augustine. He goes through a lot of what-if scenarios about showing up on her doorstep for a party. But if I showed up at your party, would you have me? Would you want me? Would you tell me to go fuck myself or lead me to the garden? I love that. He sings about how he planned out his apology to her for weeks, but it's finally sinking in that he's about to apologize to the girl he loves and he is risking rejection and shit like that. Will Betty take him back? Does she still love him? Is he finally going to get to kiss her again in front of all her stupid friends? Every time I hear that line, I always think of you because I can just picture you saying something like that. Will you kiss me in front of all your stupid friends?
Tell me something I would say.
Totally. Will it be like what he dreamed of? Will it fix everything that he's done? In the song, he sings about the moment Augustine appeared in his life and he began to cheat on Betty with the line, I was walking home on broken cobblestones, just thinking of you when she pulled up like a figment. I'm singing that so wrong. I was walking home on broken cobblestones, just thinking of you when she pulled up like a figment of my worst intentions.
The first time you sang it was better than that time. Stupid bitch.
Okay. So, guys. I've scrolled. I was walking home on broken cobblestones, just thinking of you when she pulled up like a figment of my worst intentions. She said, James, get in, let's drive. Those days turned into nights, slept next to her, but I dreamt of you all summer long. Was that terrible? That was obviously terrible, was it?
So good. Such
one more time.
What's more feeling?
She said, James, get in.
Oh, God, you didn't mean it.
So he cheats on her. She pulls up in a car.
Oh,
she says, James, get in. Let's drive. But those days turned into nights. He slept next to her, but he dreamt of Betty all summer long. But then finally James arrives at Betty's doorstep. He apologizes and kisses her on her front porch, just like Betty knew James would come back to her. Throughout the song, he also blames his youth and being young on his poor decisions, saying, I'm only 17. I don't know anything, but I know I miss you. Then we have August.
We argued about this too when we were watching it drunk the other week. I was like, he's only 17. He's just a baby. Sometimes you make mistakes and you're like, no, no.
I'm in Bennett. Then we have August, which is from Augustine's point of view, please. So throughout the song, Augustine sings about the summer she had with James, knowing she is the other girl. She sings about how she just wanting to be with her was enough. Wanting was enough. For me, it was enough. She also sings that he was never hers to lose, alluding to how she knew he was in love with Betty.
Yeah.
Betty. She says, she's twisted in bed sheets.
It's going again, people.
August slipped away like a bottle of wine because you were never mine. She's trapped in a one-sided love relationship with James, cancelling her plans in case he calls. She settled for the bare minimum from him.
Ugh.
August is also about Augustine feeling nostalgic. In the song, she often sings about remember when, before lines. And one part that ties in with James' songs for Betty is, remember when I pulled up and said, canceled my plans just in case you call, back when I was living for the hope of it all, for the hope of it all. Meet me behind the mall.
Meet me behind the mall.
Exactly. Exactly. We've all been there, right? Meet me behind the mall. I'll save a pull on my dart for you.
In Australia, you don't say mall.
Meet
say
me
central.
Behind.
You say central.
Meet me behind the tuck shop. I'll save you a pull
central,
on my cigarette.
In the smoking area.
For me, it was enough. When he returns to Betty, she asks him if he remembers her and their summer love. So much for summer love. Oh, yeah. So when he returns to Betty.
These are your notes.
When James returns to Betty, August asks him if he remembers her and their summer love. So much for summer love and saying us, because you weren't mine to lose. She says when she realizes he was never hers. She also
sings. The segment
sings,
is just you singing. You realize that, don't you?
You're just jealous that you can put singing into your part. She also sure. sings.
Super jealous.
She also sings about how she could see them lost in her memory. Summer slipped away from her because the memories were never hers.
Yeah.
James was never hers. He was he was meant to be with Betty.
Yeah.
And Augustine just lived for the hope of it all. And then we have Cardigan, which shows Betty's side. So throughout the song, Betty sings about a boy named James. She sings about how she knew him because she loves him, while also singing about how he made her feel special. He made her insecurities feel unique and beautiful rather than something to be ashamed of. So when she felt she had been forgotten and unloved, and he told her she was his favorite person, we get this through the line, and I love this line. Are you ready?
Here we go again.
And when I felt like I was an old cardigan under someone's bed, you put me on and said I was your favorite. Do you not like that line?
Sure, that's great.
Oh, it's beautiful. James also has a line in his song when he wants to get back with Betty. When he was
Jetty.
Standing in a hot cardigan, standing in. Standing in
I love that you're still trying.
Kissing in my car again. My all memory of the song has gone out of my head, and all I can think is nothing what I'm meant to be thinking. Standing in a cardigan, kissing in my car again. Then we learn he cheated on her during the summer because of the lines chase two girls, lose one, and playing hide and seek and giving me weekends. Essentially, Betty is saying that he would hang out with her on the weekends but then hide from her during the week because he was with the other girl.
Sure.
He's hiding out with the other girl, cheating on Betty. Finally, throughout the end of the song, Betty sings about how she knew he'd come back to her because she knows him. He wants to come back to her and change the ending of their story. Betty knew he'd come back once he realized his love for the other girl wasn't what he wanted. She also shades his excuse of being young and not knowing anything by saying through her song that when you are young, they assume you know nothing. But I knew you standing on the street, lad, dancing in the wheat. And she lists the things that she knew about him and how the scenario would fuck them all up. So she's like saying, dude, don't fuck with me. You knew what you were doing.
Mm.
You say you know nothing, but we knew enough. Totally recommend giving all three songs a listen in whatever order you want, because I love all fucking three songs. They all have a different style of music. They're all somber, but they're all done so well. I like them all, but for some reason, I think August is my fave. I feel for that stupid bitch. James is totally the villain in all of it, fucking with two people's emotions and shit. But I just feel for Augustine and love the tone of the song. Like she's thinking back to the time she had what she wanted, but secretly knowing deep down it wasn't going to be her happy ending. It's fucked when you really want something and you just know it's not going to happen for you, hey? They were all done.
You stupid bitch. Talk about the 1975.
1975?
The dude that she wrote all the breakup songs about in the new album. I thought you were going to say
No.
that, like, I know it's a love triangle, but what's his name? Oh, okay, now
Tom,
I'm.
no, I'm doing, I was doing Betty James and Augustine. Let's let me say to you, oh, I thought you were going to do Pippi Longstocking. It's all fucking out with an E.
Taylor. Boyfriend.
Maddie Healy.
Oh yeah, Matty Healy. I thought you were going to talk about that because how his new album is all about. Oh, he's not even attractive.
Well,
He's
I'm doing
such a
characters though,
weird
which were
looking.
characters she created.
Ugh, he's super weird looking.
So they've all done so well at the Eras Tour too. And now we have the double album, The Tortured Poets Department, with 31 songs in total.
Which Vinny's obsessed with.
Well, I've done one run through. She does a duet with Post Malone. She
I
does
love
one
Post
with
Malone.
she and she covers him his tattoos up in the film clip for it. And Vinny's like, I never thought I'd say Post Malone was attractive.
I
But I
actually
was
think he's
like,
attractive, totally. And I remember when he first came out with his face tattoos, I was like, ew, but I love him. He cannot write a bad song. I'm sorry.
oh, I love
I've
his
not
songs.
heard a bad song from him. And even when I
Chemical.
think, ugh, and he's going to do like a country album too.
Well, that seems to be the thing, doesn't it, at the
Yeah,
moment?
it totally is, which I love country music. You know how much I love country music.
Ick.
Sure.
She does one with Florence and the Machine. She does one.
Oh
Yeah,
no!
it's
I
really
love Florence and
good.
the Machine.
It's very good. And there's a song called Peter, which has to be based on someone. And she, because she's also saying in the cardigan, she sings a line where Betty is saying to James, how we tried to change the ending. Peter losing Wendy. Ah. So I'm sure there's another tie in there. I feel like she's just a lyrical genius and has so much thought in her songs and her little Easter eggs that she leaves. And shit like that is what makes her such a fucking phenomenon. Like, she's a great singer, but you wouldn't put her lyrically up there with the likes of Adele, Whitney, Mariah, Celine, you know? She just shows what she's doing.
I think that's a
What.
massive diss.
Well, I like,
Celine? I mean, Celine's great, but come on, it's
mean, a
Celine.
powerhouse voice. Like, I don't think Taylor could fucking do the fucking notes that Celine, Adele, Whitney, and Mariah do. And they're find it. But what she does fucking well. We've been putting on the Eras Tour on Disney lately when we're drunk instead of YouTube and Eurovision shit and just watching it and singing our fucking hearts out. I really want to go get into her Reputation era, which is a good one that I haven't paid too much attention to. She's got some fucking banging songs in that.
Which one was the Reputation one?
Baby, let the games begin. Let the games begin. Let the games begin. It's one where she was kind of during the whole Kanye West thing and Kim
Oh,
Kardashian.
old one. Yeah, see, I
So
like some of
it's
the old
look
stuff.
what you made me do. Look what you made me do. What you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. And that Ready For It, which is a great song. Back to my notes. Oh, and there is a song on the new album that's meant to be about Kim Kardashian called Thank You, Amy. AIMEE, but the KI and M, everything's in lowercase except the KI and M in that title. Thank you, Amy. Oh, and
Oh,
fuck
everyone's talking
it.
about that. I've seen it all over, like, Insta and stuff like that. I haven't really looked at it to see what it actually means, but I
Have you
know that
seen
everyone
that?
thinks she's dissing Kim.
Have you seen that Kanye is now producing porn? It's called
Kanye.
Yeezy Porn. So
Yeezy porn.
he's stuck with Yeezy since Adidas dropped him after his anti-Semitic comments. He's gone full transfer from religion to producing porn now.
Wow.
I know, what a fucking weirdo.
It's a
And he
money
had
maker,
a
though. Porn's a money maker.
total money maker. And look, sex work is still work. Right?
They do. It's It's just a job. It's just a job for them.
Ow, that burnt. So that's my character spiel. And we are totally now a bottle of bubbles and half a bottle of red down.
Did you finish that whole bottle of bubbles?
Yeah. Like, I mean, hello.
You're an animal.
Thank you.
No one else could drink that much wine and still be standing. Seriously. Sometimes when I tell people at work how much wine I drink, they're like, whoa. And I'm like, you haven't met my best friend. Baby, let the games begin. He can drink me under the table when it comes to wine.
Oh, well, to be fair, we were the two last standing after Eurovision night, stood in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Singing into the remote that I dropped about 17 times.
And we kept losing the batteries and then we couldn't find them. And then you just go, I think we need to go to bed. And I was like, yeah, I agree. And it was this like after three. This is for the
best. My reputation's never been worse.
And we were, do you remember us standing right in front of the TV, like right up close, like trying to make like it to the remote work? And then we did the whole early morning KFC breakfast banquet. Oh, yeah.
Thank God. Although Vinny said, Vinny was disappointed. He goes, I only got one piece of chicken. I was like, but you got a burger, babe. I just wanted chickens.
I was shocked that we ate all that food. There was nothing left. There was like some chips left and a bit of potato and gravy. And when I went to get it, I was like, I might heat up these chips. And I opened the potato and gravy and it was just potato. All the gravy was gone. There was nothing left for potato in there.
I do love the potato.
I was like, you fuckers. I want the gravy, man. Well, that's it. We're back, bitches.
We're back. We're drunk and back.
I know.
This is our drunkest one of season 8 yet. Let's see if we can top that.
Totally. Oh, look, I think we will. I think we've been holding back a little bit. I had one glass of wine and I've got this. I'm on my second red, but there's this much left.
So I've had, my bottle of bubbles and there's this much of the red wine left plus this.
So you were like, a bottle and a bit ahead of me, and I'm pissy.
And we were a bit tame for Eurovision because we had shit to do, didn't we?
We had so much shit to do. Yeah, we did.
All right, well, sign us off, bitch.
Well, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed episode something.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. So just start that again.
Well, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. We did get a little bit ranty and slightly off topic at times, but I'm sure it's all going to be good content. And Sean Bino Hipkins will edit the fuck out of it anyway and make sure that it's polished and comes out spiffy as fuck.
You can't polish a turd, Dals.
I think you can.
Yeah, just spit and rub. So join us next week for another true crime saga.
True crime anywhere.
As Sky said, we get to do what the first, I think the first and the sixth true crime ep, or the first, yeah.
First and the fourth.
First and the fourth. Are Australia.
You dumb bitch.
And then the rest are wherever the fuck we want. And I know where I'm doing.
Ooh. Where are you doing next?
I'm doing Robert Picton, the pig farmer from Canada.
Oh, it's going to be brutal, Beano.
We went and saw the pig farm. Well, what was left of the pig farm when we were in Canada. Kate took us for a little detour.
Ugh.
But anyway, good night, you stupid bitches.
Good night,
stupid bitches. Good night, stupid bitches.
Yeah. That stupid bitch. He's a stupid bitch. What a stupid bitch. That stupid.